the whole fitness and wellness and kind of holistic view of human performance touches us all in a way. So that kind of led me down the path of research on looking for biomarkers and looking for things that you could measure about the body to make better decisions. And long story, not so short, that led me to HRV. And that ended up, my kind of research and networking around that biomarker ended up spinning into an opportunity around a business.
Hi there. Welcome to the Business Side of Fitness podcast. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Each week on the show, I leverage my 2 decades of experience in the fitness and wellness industry to have meaningful conversations with the movers and shakers behind some of the most well-known and innovative brands in our industry. This show is brought to you by Vanessa Severiano, LLC. To find out more about working with me, click the link in the show notes. And now the time has come to start the show. Everyone's got a story, and it's time to hear from this week's guest. Let's welcome to the show Jason Moore. He's the CEO and founder of Spreen. Spreen. Why did I say Spreen? Okay, re-record. Hold on 1 second. Let's welcome to the show Jason Moore. He's the CEO and founder of Spreen, a B2B technology platform that helps apps connect to the human body with a simple snippet of code. No hardware required. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you, Vanessa. Yeah, it's great to be here and thanks for taking the time. I'm excited.
Well, let's dive in. Let's get started with a little bit about your background. If you could just share your background with the audience and how Spreen came to be.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, interestingly, nowadays reflecting, I've spent a big portion, the majority of my career, you could say, now in the weeds doing biomarker research, working with people who are trying to improve their fitness, improve their wellness, and learn more about their body through biomarkers like heart rate variability, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot about today, HRV, and other markers. But my background originally came from a tech background, designing data analytics systems in the oil and gas industry and the energy industry, processing a lot of data from a lot of different sensors and helping people make better decisions for very expensive projects in that industry. And that kind of taught me a lot about the technical side of things and the business side of things. But my passion has always been in the fitness and wellness side for personal reasons, because I was a competitive athlete growing up, and then I kind of stalled out in my early 20s, as I'm sure many people can relate to. And then I was searching for solutions to up my performance while at the same time watching my family's health deteriorate all around me. I've got a lot of health issues in our family, a lot of chronic conditions, and a lot of the top 10 health killers are pretty close to me. And so it's always been very on my radar, the whole fitness and wellness and kind of holistic view of human performance touches us all in a way. So that kind of led me down the path of research on looking for biomarkers and looking for things that you could measure about the body to make better decisions. And long story, not so short, that led me to HRV. And that ended up, my kind of research and networking around that biomarker ended up spinning into an opportunity around a business. And we can talk more about the business side of it, but that's sort of the genesis story.
That's really interesting. It's so funny how you mentioned that you were an athlete. I think it's so funny, like, how many people as adults still identify as an athlete, even when their, you know, athletic career was when they were teenagers. It's like, I'm still an athlete. I'm still that person, even though I'm in my 40s. But that was the catalyst to send you down this path. So how exactly does the technology work?
Yeah. So there's a lot of layers to unpack for it, but, you know, the core of our technology revolves a lot around heart rate variability. And so originally we worked with chest straps and sensors and things that you needed to measure accurate HRV. We can go into the science and weeds of HRV in a second, but essentially what we're looking at is ways to measure activity of the nervous system in the body to see, like, how much stress is the body under right now? How's my recovery going from either exercise or sleep or nutrition or other lifestyle factors like relationships and things that all that impact our training or our goals for fitness and wellness. We help people interpret that those signals so that they don't have to become a data scientist themselves. They can kind of just show up and use some easy sensors and nowadays not even need an extra device. And then we just say, hey, look, today, Vanessa, your body's looking like it's under a little bit more stress. Instead of going for a PR on your deadlift today, you might want to do like some half volume or half intensity skill work so that you can get your body moving and still grease the groove and make progress towards your goals without risking injury or without burning yourself out. And that's an exercise example. There's a lot of kind of wellness examples as well. But our goal has been to make all of that really easy for the average person to just wake up in the morning, check in with yourself for 60 seconds and get this type of guidance.
Can you share an example of a B2B partner that's implemented Spren into their offering that's experienced success?
Yeah. So, and thanks for, you know, highlighting the kind of B2B angle there, because that's been an evolution for us. It's people may actually know us more if you ever look us up as Elite HRV, which was this direct to consumer or end user app and product where we put a lot of content. We developed a lot of IP around helping people make better decisions about their body. And what we realized is people loved the data and the insights they were getting. And then they were like, so now what should I do? And we were giving a lot of great general guidance, but in order to get more specific, we would have to be like, okay, well, Vanessa, what are you into, right? Are you into CrossFit? Are you into yoga? Are you into meditation or mindfulness? Or like, what are you kind of into? And that led us with a couple of other things down a path towards Spren, which we can talk about, like why we chose to rebrand or other things later. But Spren takes all of the magic that we built into Elite HRV and makes it embeddable into any app or product. And so our goal with doing that was to make it easier for the end user ultimately, because we really think of ourselves as serving everyday people and making their lives better and making their journey easier. But you go to your favorite fitness app now, you can have all of these cool data analytics and insights built right into that app. And an example would be like, if you look up an app called Ritual Fit, they're a high intensity interval training on-demand fitness app based out of Singapore. And they're doing some really cool audio coaching around high intensity interval training with minimal equipment needs. And great app. I highly recommend folks look it up. And what you would do is you would open the Ritual app and you would take a morning reading using our Spren technology embedded right into their app. And it takes just a minute. And then you automatically get guidance surfaced that says, hey, today, based on the signals from your body, we recommend, you know, dialing up the intensity to a 9 out of 10, or we recommend dialing back the intensity to like a 2 out of 10 and focusing on skill work today. And then they actually adapt the content in the app that you're digesting based on those signals from your body. So it creates a very personalized experience. And it's, in a way, you could think about it as almost like a very scalable bridge towards personal training. You know, it's not going to replace a personal trainer through and through, but it's going to make more personalized types of experiences more accessible to more people.
86% of U.S. adults taking virtual exercise classes plan to continue doing so as gyms reopen. That's a huge opportunity for anyone looking to launch or expand their virtual fitness offering. Our friends at SyncFloor offer a catalog of over 16,000 songs by the best independent commercial artists. It's great music that can be affordably licensed for both live and video on-demand fitness classes. Listeners of the Business Side of Fitness podcast get their first 30-minute class covered for free. Just go to fitness.syncfloor.com. Link in show notes. Got it. So the ideal client is a digital fitness platform that has, do they have to have any specific information on the back end to be able to integrate with Spren? Like, how does that all connect? Is that something that comes along with the partnership that Spren figures out, or do they have to have like specific keywords that are able, you know, you're able to recognize? Like, if I'm a provider, what do I need to do to be ready to work with Spren?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, like drawing on our tech roots, as we've looked at companies like Stripe and Twilio and these companies that are a little bit more on the techie side of the story and how they've made it so easy for product developers to integrate their technologies. And they do like payment processing and push notifications and messaging and stuff. But you can kind of think about it like either like an Intel Inside or like a, you know, powered by Stripe checkout, like a secure checkout page, something like that. But we're trying to make it very easy to embed in your app with just a few snippets of code. And really, it takes a couple of days to integrate. It's not very difficult. And we try to do all of the heavy lifting for you. And part of the way that we do that is we create a very end-to-end solution. And so whether you're, you know, you have maybe some users using a chest strap, or you have some users using a different type of wearable, maybe an Apple Watch, or we've invented this new technology where you can get accurate biomarker data right out of your phone camera. And so if you've got an audience or membership or users that have phones, which probably is everybody listening, they don't need to buy an extra device. Your app can actually be powered up to where they can actually scan their body with their phone camera and get all of the data that way. And so we do accept data from other things like Apple Health and other APIs and things. We can help companies pull that data together if they need it. But we actually have a pretty end-to-end integrated solution that you can just drop right in. And it's almost like a secure checkout page. Like, I doubt anyone listening has developed their own payment processor. Maybe if they have, that's pretty unique. But most of us just use payment processing from services that provide that service, but they don't like steal from your brand equity, so to speak. It's just like, cool, powered by Stripe checkout, right? That's how we see ourselves with Spren, is just something you can drop in and say, this biomarker analysis is powered by Spren. But otherwise, it's all about your brand and your product and your relationship with your members. And so I don't know if that may have been too much information for what your question was looking for. Let me know.
No, that was great. What about for brick and mortar studios or gyms that are saying, hey, you know, I have like a video on demand library to complement my offering in studio, but I don't necessarily have a digital platform. How would they work with Spren?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, we have been seeing a pretty big evolution that you and your audience and listeners would probably know just as much, if not more than I do about it. Like this kind of evolution towards omnichannel and having both in-person offerings, if you have a brick and mortar, as well as digital offerings to either augment that in-person or have it a completely like standalone product that's around digital now that includes sometimes live streaming, but oftentimes on demand as well. And we kind of think about the whole spectrum of content as coaching, like hands-on one-on-one coaching is a form of content that is extremely personalized and hands-on. And it's like the best experience that anyone can get is when you have a hands-on one-on-one coach, right? But it's not very scalable and it's kind of expensive. And on the complete opposite end of the spectrum is like an app that gives on-demand content that's been pre-recorded and you can, you know, record it once and serve it up to millions of people, but it's not usually as personal as, you know, that coaching experience. We can kind of power up the end-to-end spectrum. And so what we've found, Elite HRV, our roots is actually working with coaches. And so a lot of our early days was working with coaches and working with research teams and professional sports teams, powering up their training plans, their recovery plans, their wellness plans with data and insights. And I was a coach actually for a number of years, personal trainer and fitness instructor. And I helped open a gym in San Antonio, Texas. And so I've got a lot of kind of personal experience in that realm and still really believe heavily in it. But I think that it's so much more powerful when you can augment it with data. And there's examples of how some services are kind of taking that to the next level, like Future.co. I don't know if everyone's heard of them, but they're helping coaches kind of scale the coaching by leveraging data from either wearables or, like in our case, camera technology and biomarker data. And so we can power up that kind of coaching experience. We can also power up a digital coaching experience that's a little bit like less hands-on per session. And we can also power up the on-demand or live streamed content by, you know, surfacing or helping people make better decisions about intensity or even which workout to select from a library of workouts. So again, another big answer potentially, but on the on-demand side, you know, if you've got a very focused set of content, like it's all around high intensity interval training, let's say, you might modulate like volume and intensity based off of our measurements. And if you've got a diverse amount of content, like let's say you have got yoga, you've got strength, you've got cardio, you've got different things, you might actually recommend different types of content based on the morning check-in with our technology. And so it might help too, is like, if we also explore that morning check-in and some of the other data that you can get about the body, cause just to add context, but I'll let you steer it.
Okay. So I guess a question that came to mind when you were speaking earlier and you were talking about how in your family, you have these health issues. I have the same. And what I found is it's really hard to motivate somebody. Like, we're in this world, right? So to us, it's like, we're interested in collecting this data, deciphering the data, trying new things. I think most of us in this industry are like little human guinea pigs, because we're always trying different things to see like what can bring me closer to optimization, right? But when I think of our families and these people that are dealing with some of these big killers and diseases, I just wonder, like, what is the compliance like? Do you have any information around like the average person, not those of us in the industry, the average person who are really trying to help, once they receive this data, are they actually complying? Is it making a difference?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it was, you know, that's been one of the biggest questions in our mind as the business has evolved. Because like I said, I have roots in coaching, working with everyday people and trying to help them stay motivated and make changes and build habits and, you know, all of that type of stuff. And one of the interesting things we found is that there's a couple of ways that motivation really gets unlocked with these data streams. So first, let's make an assumption here that we have been able to analyze the data for you, so you don't have to have a bunch of cognitive friction and like going into the, like the average user doesn't have to go in and be like, my HRV score was 76 milliseconds and yesterday it was 56 milliseconds. What does that mean? And so we kind of interpret it for you. And let's, so like with that assumption out there on the table that that's working well, is what we've seen is that we attack that from two angles. One is, everybody in this industry knows that engagement and retention are important business metrics, right? And those are sort of the ways that you can measure as a business, like motivation to a degree, right? So by having this daily morning check-in where the user wakes up in the morning and the first thing they do is look at their data and they see how recovered they are and how ready they are to tackle things today. That daily habit is very easy to build, and it creates a foundation of all the rest of your wellness and fitness habits for the day. So if you start the, like we kind of say, start the day for you before you dive into social media and the distractions of email and life and all these other things, just take a moment to check in with yourself. And it also, we provide these kind of cool visuals that make it like, there's a little bit of a dopamine hit because you're like, what's my score going to be? And it's, you know, it's almost like gambling in a way. And so it's very engaging. We see engagement go through the roof when users start doing this ritual every day. And we see about half of users use the app every single day without missing a single day. And they love the check-in. They love seeing like how they're going to do for the day. And then you build more habits on top of that, right? And so you can surface content, you can surface guidance, you can surface tips, you can encourage them to check back in at 2 p.m., something like that, right? That's one angle that really helps with motivation and just that daily habit forming. The other is showing progress. And so we all know that it takes time to make really noticeable progress in our fitness or our wellness, right? Whether you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to build strength or, you know, do your run your 5K or your 10K faster or something like that, it takes time. But the cool thing is our data actually shows progress very quickly right out of the gate when you're improving your health or wellness through either exercise or some other, you know, protocol. And so we can show really cool progress in the sense that HRV tracks very heavily with decreases in inflammation in the body, which actually sets up a conversation for a little bit more of a holistic view. You know, somebody might have come to you for exercise, but really their problem is they're not sleeping and they're, you know, going to a fast food restaurant before and after their gym time, you know, something like that. HRV helps broaden the conversation a little bit, but part of that is by showing progress over time, you can really kind of keep people engaged and motivated as well. And this is sort of, you might be launching a bunch of new insights on our platform, such as the ability to track body composition and body fat using just your phone as a sensor. And so people can actually see their fat loss, not just weight loss, because I know that's a topic that, you know, we can open a can of worms with, that people really want to lose fat, but they sometimes get confused because if they build muscle, their scale weight doesn't change as much, but their body composition changes dramatically. And that's really what people want, you know, despite the scale sometimes being confusing. So we can actually use the phone and camera technology to get clinically accurate body composition analysis and body fat analysis as well. And all of that is going into this exact question, which you asked, Vanessa, which is a show them that their efforts are, you know, paying off, even though intuitively, it's hard to know until more time has passed, right? Like that's the big trick in the industry is like, it takes time to get the sustainable results. And how do you like keep people engaged during that time? So that's kind of a fundamental piece of our puzzle.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And you're right. Like HRV is really impacted by even a glass of wine, how you slept. Like there's so many variables. And if people feel like they're, you know, experiencing a little victory, even if their score was better than two nights ago when they went out to happy hour with their friends or whatever, they'll feel motivated to keep going. And I think another problem that we have in our industry that we need to solve is people come into things so hot and heavy and motivated for like a short period of time. And then they lose motivation over time because either their program doesn't develop with them or it's just not sustainable. Their lifestyle changes and it's like too dramatic from how they used to be. And then, you know, like you talked about habit forming, right? We go back to our old habits so quickly. And you made great points because first people feel the change, right? Then they see it and everyone wants to see it first. So Jason, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about the rebrand, why you went from Elite HRV into Spren and the thought process behind that, why the time was right and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's always a tough decision to think about a rebrand and stuff. And the world often knows us as Elite HRV still. So if you're looking up HRV, you often come across Elite HRV. We actually taught accredited courses by NASM and NSCA on how to use HRV to tailor fitness and wellness experiences. And, you know, all of that was under the umbrella of Elite HRV. And what we realized was two things. One is, we were growing beyond just HRV. And so HRV is an amazing biomarker that now the research community and the influencer community is kind of like, it's the one thing everyone should be measuring about themselves, which we feel grateful that they're saying that and to be in the position that we are. But we're growing, you know, beyond HRV. That's one thing. The other was that we started out kind of in this high performance sports, elite athletes and research community. And very quickly, because the data is so valuable to so many people, we broadened out to more kind of like fitness and wellness seekers and things like that. And then even further, when we went B2B, we're now kind of collaborating with meditation apps and we're collaborating with mindfulness activities and wellness activities and mental health. In addition to, of course, like fitness and training and nutrition and a lot of other activities. So we kind of wanted to broaden the scope of our brand in a way and make it a little bit friendlier to be this like powered by Spren experience, kind of like that Intel inside. And the other thing is that, so those kind of all collided in this notion around rebranding. And we thought that, we were developing Spren in stealth mode is what the kind of industry jargon calls it, which means that we were building it behind the scenes. Nobody knew we were building it while we were building Elite HRV over the past couple of years. And we actually just brought it out of stealth mode in January. So this is like hot off the press. And we've been very grateful that choosing to rebrand as part of that launch has seemed to only help us, not hurt us, in the sense that we have partnerships now that serve over 30 million people through Spren. And that is beyond our wildest dreams for having just launched it so recently publicly. And Spren as a word to us means the embodiment of the human experience, which is kind of just a fun little fact for us that are kind of nerdy at the company and like to kind of have some depth to things beyond just like Elite HRV kind of sounds like we're good at HRV or we're HRV for sports, right? Which was, we had grown well beyond that over the past years.
And so what are your findings having, you know, conducted over 100 scientific studies with some pretty huge names out there, working with these elite athletes and then working with the everyday person? What are some of your findings and the difference between the two demographics, the elite athlete and the everyday person, and how are you catering to that?
Yeah, it's really a great question. You know, it's interesting is that the building blocks of all people are basically the same, right? Like we eat, we sleep, we manage our stress, we exercise and move our bodies. We have relationships that are very important for our psychological health and our motivation and stuff. All of these building blocks are the same, regardless if you're trying to fight a chronic health condition or you're trying to win the Olympics. And obviously the magnitude is a bit different for each of those variables, depending on what your goals are. But something like HRV really helped us understand that looking holistically across that spectrum is no longer optional, basically, because the world that we live in is full of easy, like sugar and easy, you know, binge Netflix and easy entertainment and things that feel good in the moment, but really hurt us over time. And no offense to Netflix, I binge it too, right? So, but, you know, having all that stuff means that we can't just like go out and jog for 20 minutes a day and that solves all of our health issues anymore. We kind of have to be thinking a little bit more holistically about stress, about nutrition, about mixing up our training and not just doing one thing all the time. And so, you know, the data just clearly shows that is that the people who are willing to kind of open their mind a little bit to looking at more of the picture get the best results, fastest and most sustainable results. So that's from chronic health all the way to Olympic athletes. Now we've helped many top pro sports teams win championships and Olympians win gold medals. And then the funny thing they do is they come back to us and they're like, wow, I got into measuring HRV because I wanted to adjust my training load, basically. And then what I realized is that because of my, you know, genetic predisposition and my background in training, training actually wasn't the problem. I can train like a lot as an Olympian or a top pro athlete. my problem was actually in nutrition or in stress management or in sleep, and basically like recovery elements, right? When I started addressing those, my numbers changed the most dramatically and my results changed more dramatically. Because training a ton is not optional for a top athlete, for example, right? You've got to train a ton. And if you increase your recovery, you get those better results. So I don't know if that very concisely answered your question, but I think that's one pattern that we've noticed looking at the data over time, is that for better or for worse, we've all got to start thinking a little bit more holistically about our health and our wellness and fitness, regardless of where we are on the spectrum. But the cool thing is that if you build little habits and you measure data about yourself to see like what works for me and start accessing a more personalized, you know, plan of action, you actually can really amplify your results with less effort. And ultimately, that's what we all want, right? We all want to get better results with less effort. And like you said earlier, we want to look better. We want to feel better. We want to perform better in whatever we're trying to do, all with less effort. And that's what the data kind of helps you do. And without the data, we found that people can get spun in circles because they're like, oh, I tried this thing, I lost 20 pounds, but then I rebounded and gained 30 pounds. And, you know, then I tried this other thing and, you know, that made me less stressed, but then I didn't have time for cooking, so I started eating out more. You know, all these variables that can be overwhelming. It just becomes a little bit easier when you're measuring stuff about yourself to say like, cool, this is working for me, I'm going to keep doing it, or it's not working for me, I'm going to try something else, and just iterate on yourself from there.
Right. I think like sometimes when I hear the word personalization, I just kind of roll my eyes because a lot of personalization really isn't personalized, but this really is. And I think it also helps people realize that like, hey, my friend does HIIT training and she got great results, so now I'm going to do HIIT training, but because of my cortisol levels, my body doesn't respond well to HIIT training. And yes, it puts too much stress on my body. I need to do something else. And I wouldn't discover that if I didn't have that data. You know, I think so much of health and wellness right now, unfortunately, is really trend driven. It's like, oh, hey, this person that I know on social media that I follow does intermittent fasting, and so that I'm going to do it, but that person's body doesn't respond well, and then they can't figure it out. It's like, well, all the people on the internet are doing it, why doesn't it work for me? Or, you know, so I just love that you provide that information for people in a way that they can understand and celebrate those small wins. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for us in this industry, is helping people celebrate small wins that lead to the big victories, right? I think people get so caught up in the big goal that then they lose steam and motivation. But if they're able to see the little wins, and this is, you know, an original question I was thinking of asking you is, how does this differ from like a Whoop or an Apple Watch? But now it's like completely clear. It's helping you decipher the data and take action. And I think that's the biggest problem also that we're facing. A lot of people get the data, right? Like, oh, I closed my ring, so I'm good, right? Mm-hmm. There's more to it.
Yeah, you know, and I think you hit on a couple really key things there, which is that personalization is one of those loaded terms, right? And so it matters what you're measuring about yourself to be able to personalize your journey effectively. And that's what really gravitated us towards HRV. And so there's lots of things you could measure about yourself, right? You could measure steps. You could measure your basic heart rate. You could measure the quote unquote calories that some products offer up, are debatable across the spectrum on accuracy. You could measure your scale weight, you know, stuff like that. And when it comes to day-to-day decision-making, there's like two layers real fast that I'll try to highlight. One is we were drawn to HRV because it's a very sensitive but non-specific biomarker. It gives you like a check engine light for your whole body and your wellness. And so if you're improving your fitness, HRV tends to go up. If you're improving your, you know, reducing inflammation, HRV tends to go up. And so it really helps you know if like things are going better or worse. And then the other thing is we actually make it easy to measure over time and interpret your personal data for you. So whenever you measure your HRV on our platform, it's not just saying like, oh, Vanessa, your score is 56. Well, you know, this whatever 18-year-old like elite athlete is a 76. Therefore, you've got a lot of work to do. You know, that's not how the platform works. The platform actually learns what your individual patterns are and all of these biomarkers and data, and automatically helps guide you to say, look, you woke up this morning and compared to your recent baseline, you're a little stressed. It's okay. It's life. Let's make some adjustments and realize that cravings are going to be a little bit higher today because of that stress. And so you may want to avoid the break room at work if you're the type of person that goes into an office these days. And then, you know, the other thing is you may not want to hit that, that HIIT workout as hard today, either lighten up the volume or, you know, switch it out for a yoga session today or a walk even, and do the HIIT tomorrow when your body's a little more recovered. So it's very, very personalized at multiple layers.
I love it. So you've been through so much, you know, through this journey, the rebrand, you know, changing the type of business model from direct to consumer to B2B, working with different types of clients from athletes to everyday people. What's been the biggest challenge for you in this whole process as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I feel super grateful that we happen to be early players with HRV and HRV data, because there's this rising tide of interest in HRV. It's everywhere now. Basically, if you haven't heard about it, you're going to hear about it very soon, because lots of people are talking about it now. And we were very early to that. So I feel grateful that that rising tide has helped us through the challenges of other aspects of the business, which is kind of like, okay, we started with a free app, a free app with no kind of revenue model associated with it. And our, you know, our very altruistic goal was to just help more people learn more about their body, right? And then we got, you know, thankfully a lot of people, thousands of people started downloading it. Pro sports teams started picking it up. Research institutes started picking it up because of our steeping in the quality of the data and the accuracy of our guidance. And they were like, well, I guess we should figure out how to actually build a sustainable business around this. And those were where some of the challenges came, because part of it is we're very eager to reach the maximum number of people that we can. It's just kind of how we operate. And so we tried different business models. Some of them didn't work at all. They were terrible. Others worked a lot better, but still weren't having the impact that we were hoping. And we continued to iterate and innovate and keep moving towards the signals that we were getting from people as the business grew. And the two big things were, A, it's really cool what you can tell me, but I don't want to interpret this data for myself, right? Like as an end user, I just kind of want to be told like, how am I doing and what should I do, right? I don't want to become a data scientist myself, but I want to know that it's based on real science and that it's not just, you know, smoke and mirrors. So there was that element. And then how can I do this easier, spend less time on it, and not have to buy an extra device, you know, stuff like that. So we had launched our own device in 2018. We created a medical grade sensor. It's very similar to a pulse oximeter. You pop it on your finger. And, you know, this was a successful product by many measures. We sold it in 80 countries to 28,000 or more people and generated a lot of revenue and interesting relationships off of that, but just wasn't reaching as many people as we wanted. And so all of that then culminated with every individual is very, has their preferences and what they're into. You know, you might be into high intensity interval training, or you might be into yoga, or you might be into walking or running or whatever, right? There's 1,000 variations of what people want to do. And to your point, when you look up somebody online and you see they're doing intermittent fasting, and if it doesn't work for you, then the temptation is to say, oh, well, it just works for this, like this person. And it's, you know, it's just a fraud or whatever. But in reality, it might work for a lot of people, just not you. And so, and that's okay, because there's something else out there that works really well for you. And becoming more and more personalized was another challenge that we had to overcome kind of going down this route. So all of that kind of culminated in Spren, which is like, if we can take all of these cool algorithms we've developed over the years that are backed by really robust research, package them in a way that you can put it in the app that you want to use and not force you to come to a separate app like our app to get the data and then sort of mentally map it to whatever you're trying to do. That removes the friction. It gets access to way more people. It meets people where they are doing the things that they're kind of interested in. And then the last piece was removing the hardware equation. We do, I still think wearables and hardware are really great products. In fact, we didn't talk about this, but we actually support wearables and we also power up companies who are building their own wearables. So you're actually going to see some more wearables entering the market pretty soon that are powered by Spren in the background. So we're fans of wearables and we have a lot of respect for what those companies are doing. It's a difficult business to be in hardware, but if you can do it, it does add a lot of value. And then our camera technology helps reach all the people who didn't want the extra device, or maybe the app developer who doesn't want to have to support 20 different types of wearables because all of their users already have a phone. And so, yeah, those were some of the challenges and, you know, kind of meandering business models that kind of were packaged around this one core theme of what can we measure about the body and how can we make it easy to make it actionable and personal for people.
Thank you for being so transparent, because I think we were talking about this before we started recording, but like, I think sometimes people just go on social media and they see, or they like read the headlines and they just hear about the highlights, like the end goal. They don't know like all the iterations, all the resiliency that went into getting to that point. So thanks so much for sharing that. And it's been such a pleasure to learn more about you, Jason, and Spren. If somebody wants to connect with you or they want to potentially work with Spren, how can they do that?
Yeah. And so for me personally, like LinkedIn's a great spot, and Spren.com is also a great spot for people to learn more. We've got a bunch of cool examples on there, and we're actually posting more and more on the site these days, building that out since the Spren site was only launched a few months ago. But our team is super responsive if you want to contact us there. And if we're really interested in learning. I think that's one of the underlying themes of what drew us to this business to begin with, is I wanted to learn more about my body and how to make that better decisions and help my coaching clients learn more about their bodies and make better decisions. We treat business the same way. We love hearing from people. And if you like, I don't understand this, or I have a question, or I have this idea to share with you, we love hearing that stuff because that's how we've learned and grown and iterated through all the challenges and ups and downs of the business over the past years.
It's a great philosophy. You have to be open to see what's next, right? So thank you so much, Jason.
Awesome. Thanks, Vanessa.
The Summit by BFS is back in New York City, April 28th to 30th. Focused solely on boutique fitness, you won't want to miss their elite lineup of speakers and panelists, including keynote speakers Jay Galuzzo, prior co-founder and CEO of Flywheel, and Sadie Lincoln, co-founder and CEO of Bar3. Space is limited. Get your ticket before they sell out. Visit BFS2022.com today and make sure to get your ticket before April 15th when registration closes. Hi, everyone. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If it brought you value, please subscribe, review, and share the Business Side of Fitness podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with me, please click the link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.